Perfect. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll make it all the way from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. It's so good to be with you this morning. Why don't we have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll get into the Lord's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. What a joy and a blessing it is to get to hear from you each and every day. Lord, we pray that as we read your word, that you would bless us. Father, we pray that you would be our teacher. We pray that we would know you, and that, Lord, you would teach us by your Spirit to have peace, joy, and righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 14. Beginning at verse 14, and we'll read through chapter 15 and end at verse 6. So here we go. I know that I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's an amazing passage we have, so we need to ask ourselves, A, what is this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to this? So what is this about? Well, he's continuing on, almost wrapping up this whole section on this tension between the Jewish people and the Gentile in the church and Rome. I mean, people, the Gentiles would mercilessly mock Jewish people for their dietary restrictions. And Jewish people would look down their noses on Gentiles who would eat this meat. And yet Romans, who came to Christ, now are struggling with, well, there's certain meat that they can't eat because it was sacrificed to idols. And so their consciences are burdened and people are looking down on them. And so there's all these people who are dealing this way with one another. And the Holy Spirit here tells us a way forward in this, and it's a way of love and of patience. See, in this first part, verse 14 through verse 18, that first paragraph, he's saying, in all reality, there's nothing unclean, right? It's not what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean, but it's what comes out This is why Paul says that I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Right? So he's going back to what Jesus said, that there's nothing unclean. Right? It's even God himself who brought down the sheet in the book of Acts before Peter and told him to eat. And what he's declared clean, let no man call unclean. And so there's nothing unclean in and of itself. But in verse 15, right? Great. You latch onto that truth. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. And remember what he had just said. The fulfilling of the commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so if in your freedom you are destroying your brother, you're not loving. So you're not keeping the commandments. You're not bringing glory to God. This is not what Christ has called you to. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. See, the kingdom of God isn't about food. It's about loving one another. It's about loving God. Christ died, showing his love for that saint next to you. So don't go and destroy him because of something as silly as food. But the kingdom of God is about righteousness and about peace and about joy. Right? So stop it with this food stuff, right? Stop it with your judgmentalism and stop it with your trampling on people's consciences, right? This is what he's getting at here. And love your brother. Don't worry about your own personal rights. Right, let us pursue the things, verse 19 through 23, that next paragraph. What's it getting at? Well, verse 19 and verse 23, I think, are the heart of these verses. And he says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make peace and the things which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. And then verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith, and whatever is not of faith is sin. Right? Live at peace with each other. That's why Paul elsewhere would say, you know, if I have to never eat meat again, that's fine. I'll become a vegetarian for life if it means that somebody could be saved. Right? We need to make sure that in our Christian liberty, which that is a blessing from God, we don't then trample the consciences of our brothers and sisters and force upon them something that would make them violate their consciences. Now, this is especially important, what it says in verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith, and whatever is not of faith is sin. So let's paint the scenario, right? Let's say it's the Roman Christian who's really struggling with this meat that was bought in the marketplace. He's really struggling with this. Let's say he has two members in the church that are with him, right? So this is a group of three people. You have the Roman Christian who can't eat that meat sacrifice idols because his conscience is just burdened. You have one brother, and that brother is sitting there going, you know, man, I get it. Yeah, I totally understand that. So, you know, when you come over for the barbecue later, we'll roast some vegetables. Don't worry about it, you know. You don't have to eat the meat. I totally get it. But then you have another person. Let's say she's a sister in the church. And she's this Jewish woman who has found this amazing freedom in Christ. Right? The dietary laws are gone. She's rejoicing. This is wonderful. And she wants everybody to know this freedom they have in Christ. And she comes and she's like, yo, what's going on here? Why isn't there any meat on the barbecue? Come on, we can have this meat. And the brother who is sympathetic and towards this new Roman Christian, he says, he's really struggling with this, right? So we're just gonna go all Daniel on this, right? We're just gonna eat vegetables. We'll be all right. And she says, oh, he's trampling down my conscience. Why are you such a pansy? Come on, don't you know all things are clean? Just eat it, you'll be fine. She's trampling on that person's conscience. And if he was being pressured, strong-armed into eating that food, she's being a tyrant over his conscience. And if he ate that food, it's sin. For whatever is not of faith is sin. So we need to be careful, right? How we treat other people. We need to be able to put past our own rights, our own privileges, our own Christian liberty in Christ, if it means that we can love our brothers and sisters. Now, I'm going to say here, right, there's the tyranny of the person with a free conscience. There's also a tyranny of what would Paul would address in the book of Galatians with the Judaizers, the tyranny of the weak conscience. When the person with a weak conscience doesn't love their neighbor, doesn't want to be at peace, but they tell everybody in the church, no one's allowed to do this. You cannot handle, you cannot taste, you cannot touch. And they try to force their will and their conviction on everyone else. And it actually brings into the church through the back door legalism and self-righteousness. So both of these often strong personalities and very firm convictions by principle end up actually ripping apart the church. And this is what Paul is saying, put behind you. Right? No. No, center on peace, center on joy, center on righteousness. Show love to one another. And then in this last section, verses 1 through 6 of chapter 15, what is this getting at? Well, it's just what we've been talking about, right? In verse 1, it says, bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves, right? If we're the strong brother, if we're the strong sister, we ought to bear with the weak consciences of those who struggle with things, right? Wonderful. You have a more liberal sense of Christian liberty. That's great. So not because, you know, they are demanding it of you, but because it brings glory to God. Live at peace with all men, so long as it depends upon you. Love that person. That might mean that we give up some of our Christian liberties at times. I know that there are certain people I go around, that there are certain topics, certain things, certain areas in life that I'm not going to talk about or do. But just like I know that there are some people in my life who have really struggled with alcohol, and the Lord delivered me from that sin. And for a while, though, I remember when I had to practice total abstinence, as I was putting to death the sinful desires of my flesh, being a former drunkard. But now I know that, okay, I can have a beer or two, and that's not a big deal. But there are certain people in my life that are still struggling with that. So I'm not going to go out to eat and purposely order some alcohol in front of them and cause them to stumble and fall. Right? No, hold on. Do we love these people? Do we care for them? We who have the stronger conscience ought to be motivated first by love. For even Christ did not please himself. Right? Jesus is our example here. Jesus bore with a weaker conscience all the time. And so we ought to follow after him. So right, this is where verse 5 and 6, I think, is wrapping up this section. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. God is patient with you, so we can be patient with others. Bring them along the journey. Walk with them as they continue to progress in holiness. Be patient with the weaker brother or the weaker sister. Show them the joy there is in following Christ. You know, it was my pastor who just very gently and slowly walked me through this reality that, no, Brian, not all alcohol is sinful. Actually, here's theological reasoning behind it. And here's how we follow Christ with one another. And he did it in such a gentle and humble way. I'm so thankful to him for it. So what are the best verses? What would you underline in your Bible? I got a whole bunch here underlined. You know, so what would you underline in your Bible? I have verse 15. I have verse 17. I have verse 19 and 20. I have verse one and three and five and six. Maybe you'd do better minimizing that down. Let me know, what would you underline in your Bible as the best verse to summarize this? If you're on Facebook or YouTube, just write that down in the comments. Lastly, what are you called to do in response to this? Are you going to be like Christ? Will you be patient? Will you be loving? You who have the stronger conscience, will you live by judgmentalism? Or will you pursue joy, peace, and righteousness? What is it in your life? Maybe there's some extra biblical standard, or maybe even biblical principles, but they aren't God's commandments, that you have been forcing on others out of your own weak conscience. Are you the tyrant of your Christian liberty? Or are you the tyrant of your weak conscience? I'm going to leave that with you. There's all sorts of principles there. But whatever's not done of faith is sin. We must have a clean conscience about these things. So in your own heart, you need to ask yourself, am I showing Christ-like patience? Am I showing Christ-like love? Am I showing Christ-like joy and peace and righteousness? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have been so patient with us, that you have been so humble, that you came from heaven in the likeness of a man, that you might empathize with us in every way. You put aside your crown rights. You put aside your glory that you had in heaven. You put aside all your pomp and stance, and you came. And you were patient and understanding. You challenged, Lord, that's for sure. You taught us the things of your law. And Father, you have shown us the way we ought to live with one another. God, we pray that you would please let us walk in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the peace of Jesus Christ wash over your soul. And may the patience of God well up in you a love toward others that would endure and build up your brothers and sisters in Christ. May you enjoy this day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.